Good afternoon, ladies. First of all, I would like to thank God for His mercy and His blessing that I finally am here in this room with you all, the faithful Christian ladies, my sister in Christ. I'm Etta Grab. My name is actually Berta Beatrix Purba. In Indonesia, we use our maiden name. But then after marrying John Grab, he wants me to have his name. So Berta Beatrix Purba Grab. That's too long. So I like to make it short. What about Etta Grab? Because Etta, my friends usually call me Etta. So now just Etta Grab. Easy. And John is happy with that. Yeah. And well, I don't know what to say about what happened in my life. Like, I think everybody has known about we tried so very hard to get my visa here to the state, and I think John updated sometimes a bit too much though. So, well, after trying for 4 times, I said, okay, that's it. I'm not going to try again because it will cost us a lot of money and then energy. And then it's not good for me mentally. I said like that. So it's okay. Maybe I will never be to the state. As long as I can go to heaven, I'm okay with that. Yeah, but then Brother Stan contacted my husband and then he said, what about we invite Etta to speak for the lectureship? And then I said, must be joking. Me? I said, yeah, maybe it will help. And then he said that he will write a letter to the embassy. I said, I don't think it will work. Well, I tried to find some excuses not to say yes, you know, but because I think that, well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. And then John said, like, give it a try the last time. And don't worry about what to say, about what to do. Just write the manuscript. Write about what you have experienced. So then, okay, I said like that. So I made my manuscript, and it was the March 2020. 2019. So, and then I heard that the lectureship was canceled. I said, okay, no problem. No need to try the visa. So we separated for 13 months and John was not happy with that. Yeah, well, me too, actually. So, so then when finally Indonesia is open, I could have him his family visa. Then I heard that the lectureship will be on again. And then I said, well, but still I cannot come. I said like that. And I know that somebody will read my manuscript, Sister Brenda, yeah, just now. I said, okay, everything is okay. But John said, please try again, one more time, the last time. So, okay, then I came to the embassy without any expectation. I just lowered my expectation, very low. So, yeah, so I just brought Brother Stan Crowley letter. Usually they didn't care about that. They have never touch the documents I brought because they know that I'm married to an American. You are not eligible to come to America as a tourist. They wanted me to have a spouse visa that I have to stay in the state a year, and which I cannot afford. Even John cannot afford that. So because of that, then I said, okay, let's try. But then I just came there, I handed the document, and then the interviewer read that, and then wow, what a surprise. And then he like, San Antonio. So you're going to San Antonio, but your visa has been, your application has been denied several times. Yes, he said like that. I was like flat, you know, and then, but he was so excited. You were going to San Antonio. I love San Antonio. I live in San Antonio before moving to Indonesia. Oh, okay. And then he said, all right. Okay. I said like, all right. He said like, all right. And then I said like, and your visa is granted. Oh, I said like, I mean like, oh, my visa is granted? Yeah. And then, oh, okay. And I was like, I wanted to scream at that time, but you know, I have to stay elegant, you know. So, and then I went. I came to the embassy by myself. John was in the hotel. I mean, I didn't go with him because we had to fly to Jakarta to the embassy. It's 25-minute flying, but we had to stay there for 3 days. So I told John, and then he was like, we had only 10 days to prepare for the trip. Yeah, and then I said, like, but the first thing I said, like, oh, thank you, God. But and after that, oh, lectureship. But... well, God wants me to come to the state and do something, not only traveling, visiting families and friends, but he wants me to be here with you, and I'm glad I'm here. So, thank you for the prayers. Thank you for all the support. It means a lot for us. Thank you so very much. And today I'm going to share some of my experience. I'm not going to teach because I think, well, I hope that my experience can help some of you. I know that it's not only me. I believe it's not only me who have undergone setbacks in life. Yeah, but... maybe not only for you, but you can use this to help other people, because that's one of our duty as Christians. All right, so today's sharing is about how to comfort people who are suffering. That's my name. That's my long name. Yeah. And it's a crowd. All right. Bear with me, please. To everything, there is a season. Oh, I forgot something. I'm sorry. Yeah. God has never promised that the sky will always be blue and the grass will always be green. There are some times when the sky is dark and seems to fall. Many people feel hopeless and don't know what to do. Yeah. But God allows us to suffer to understand that pain is part of life. The cycle of life is always like that. Sometimes we will be happy, sometimes we will be sad. It's always like that. Like a spinning wheel, we experience the ups and downs in life. And in times of sorrow, when the sky seems dark and seems to fall, many people will feel hopeless. Usually they will blame God for allowing misfortune to happen to them. But, you know, when we have this, we have to have good attitude. the attitude to face the ups and downs in life. When you are happy, it's easy. Everybody wants to be your friend. When in joy, everything looks so easy. You will never ask God, why me, God? Why me? Should be happy. Yeah. But when, on the other hand, when we are experiencing troubles, many people that claim that they are our friends sometimes will fade away from our life. Yeah. But Christian friends will certainly not do that, because as Christian, we have a role model who is always there in our distress, Jesus Christ. And we are obligated to do the same, comforting our relatives or friends who are in suffer. Okay. We have some Bible examples. I think everybody knows Naomi. That's our favorite. She showed good examples when she was in sorrow. Well, losing her husband, losing her sons, in a new place that she didn't know. And then Job is a great example of a man who suffered with a great attitude. But the greatest example of all is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Okay. Sometimes when we are in trouble, we always think that we don't deserve to be in that position. We blame everything, like, why this happened to me? Why God? Why me? And sometimes they even like hopeless, because when people could suffer from different kind of problems or situation, deaths of the loved ones, like serious health problems, divorce, and other tragedy in life. And this different kind of problems can affect people differently, and we'll need different kind of solution for us to help them. The most important thing, how to make them stay faithful and know that God will never give us trial beyond our abilities and will always provide ways out. And God also has promised that He will never leave us alone as long as we are faithful. Some people think that, okay, we don't have to go to the church, we don't have to pray, but they complain, God has never helped me. But, you know, in order to be God help you, you have to be faithful. Yeah, so let's see. Okay, how to help people? I mean, how God help His children in many different ways, in His ways. And He sent us, sometimes God sends people with a broken heart. Not only someone who are with good position. You know, we have seen many examples that God wants us to help people, because God wants us to bear one another burden, and that will fulfill the law of Christ. in Galatians 6, verse 2. And when our dear relatives or friends are suffering, sometimes it is difficult to show that we care. Yeah, I mean, like, how to comfort them? I mean, like, I don't know what to do. I don't have a lot of money to help. Yeah, but we may be afraid that we might say something wrong or do something that would make difficult times even worse. So, however, do not let the fear of making mistake prevent you from reaching out, helping them. Here are some of the ways to comfort people who are suffering. We have to be there to show that we care by expressing our concern and help. Like what happened to Job's friends. When they heard what happened to Job, the three of them tried to make an agreement to visit Job and then stay there with him to show that they care and they are there to help. Yeah. Because sometimes people who suffer, we usually need some time to be on their own. Just be there. You don't have to say anything. Like my experience when my first husband died, after the funeral, it's just us, the three of us, me and my girls. Nobody visited. Nobody called. Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, maybe they were busy, but, you know, it was very bad. I mean, like, especially, I thought I was the only person who was suffered, so I just stayed in my room. I ignored my girls. That was bad. That was not good. So, and then the girls, my girls, Jessica and Jovita, they tried to be strong in front of me because they didn't want to see me crying. They don't want to see me cry. So they, you know, I have never seen them crying. But then the sister from the school, Jovita went to Catholic school. The sister from the school called me after a month of, and then because she told me that my daughter cried all the time at school. You know, I mean, like, I didn't know what to do because I was so sad myself, so I ignored them. Actually, they are also sad because they lost their father. Yeah, I mean that after that, I tried to, you know what I did? I tried to be happy for them. We traveled overseas, you know, just to pretending that we were happy, but we're still sad. It's not good. And I had nobody to talk to. I couldn't talk to the girls because I'm afraid they would be sad. So we didn't say anything about what happened. And that's not easy because it's not good for our self. I mean, mentally not good. So, so if you happen to know someone who are in sorrow, please be there. Even when you don't have to say anything, just be there. Check them once in a while. Especially now we have the technology. You can text them and then I'll be there for you if you need me, something like that. And well, some people they will be there, but you know, usually they try to put the one who are suffering in sorrow by saying too much thing that, let me tell you, it won't work. Yeah, I mean, like sometimes, like we don't really want people to accompany. Yes, sometimes we just want to be on our own. Sometimes like that, but you know, when you are in your room, but you know that someone is outside. Of course, you try to be polite by going out, so you will forget about the problems for a while. That's good. Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, this is like people who suffer will usually need some time to be on their own and try to withdraw themselves from the crowd. While it is understandable, after some time they can feel lonely and get full deeper and deeper into sorrow. And like me, it took me 6 months to realize that I have to move on. Yeah, but I, you know, 6 months because I think, okay, I need to work. I need money to continue my life because I have spent lots of money for the medical treatment in other country. Yeah, well, my late husband, he got heart problem for 13 years. The last 3 years were very bad, so we had to, well, he had to undergo a lot of medical treatment in Indonesia and also in Malaysia. And then doctor in Indonesia had already given up. So they said that they couldn't help, but doctor in Malaysia said, we still can help him, but yeah, there is a chance that we will lose him at the surgery. And then I said, okay, I was ready at that time. We were so ready. So I had prepared everything, embassy, if he died in the surgery. So everything was prepared. I was ready. But he made it. So we stayed in Malaysia for a month. And then after that, doctor said, he's okay. You can go back to Indonesia. It's only 10 days. When everything was okay, he's gone. Then why? I said, when I was ready, you didn't take him. But now when I thought that everything was okay, he's gone. So I blame God for being unfair. But, well, I did repent. I repented, and I know I was wrong. I was just hopeless at that time. Yeah, so sometimes, like, if I had someone there to be there with me, especially our Christian brethren, I wouldn't have done silly things, you know, stupid things for that long, you know. So it's important that somebody will be there to help those who are in sorrow. And then be there and be a good listener. Yeah, like Job's friends came and sat with him for 7 days. They just sat and said nothing to Job. Maybe they talked to each other, but not to Job. Like, they just ignore him, letting him, I enjoying my sorrow at that time. Just listen, let them vent all the grief, anger, and fear. Don't say anything unless you are asked sometimes. Based on my experience, you don't have to give advice or suggestion. It won't work. And a lot of times, they think that they need no advice. Just give advice when asked. We need to feel what they feel, put ourselves in their shoes, hold their hands, and or hug them without saying anything. We'll help them feel better. Yeah, give them some time to grieve and mourn and contemplate over their situation. We have to understand that everyone grieves differently and it takes some time to gradually feel better again. Yeah, some people, it took me 6 months. Some people maybe longer. My sister-in-law, she was a happy-go-lucky person. She was okay. After a month, she's okay. Yeah, well, so we have to know about that too. This is important. I mean, interesting. I found this. Just listen. I mean, when two ears are put side by side, it forms the shape of the heart. Interestingly, the word ear sits right in the middle of the word heart. The ear is the way to the heart. So if you want someone's heart, learn to listen to him or to her. If you want God's heart, learn to listen to his word, spirit in your heart. Yeah. Some other ways is be careful with your words. This is easier said than done. When we have not suffered, it is easy to preach and give words of encouragement. But if we are not careful, what we intend as words of encouragement can come off as arrogant and insincere. In Job 16:2, Job's friend gave him bad advice and suggestion. Even his wife asked him to curse God and die. Wow. Yeah, so okay. There are some places or subjects that should be avoided when talking to those who are suffering. Cliche question or small talks like, how are you doing? What do you expect? I'm fine. Thank you. What about you? No. Okay. Or can sound and feel fake, right? Just like lip service. You know that she is or they are not good. Yeah. Praises like, I know how you feel. Or, this is part of God's plan. My God will never plan something bad happen to me. My husband survived the surgery, but he didn't rest at home. So he died because he just got a very big heart surgery. They took that heart out and then put it back. And like that, so, you know, doctor said stay in bed, but he didn't. Yeah, I mean like, well, I don't know what to say. I mean like, it's not God's plan. Yeah, I mean like, I'm not going to worship God who planned something bad to his followers. Yeah? Okay. Be humble and patient when counseling those who are suffering. We need to be sure that when we talk, we are not judging or imposing our advice to them. Choose interesting subject that will make them forget about their problem for a while. Yeah. Not only talking about what happened. Sometimes it will make, you know, the heart bleeds again. Yeah. I think I told some sister here about, I met one of the sisters in the restroom and I was there with some of the ladies here, and then she cried because she remembered what happened to her son-in-law, committed suicide. It's because of the lesson today. So, see, even just listen to that, I mean, like, it made her sad again. Okay. And we have pray for and with them. This is, prayer is the best way to communicate with our God. It is the easiest thing to do in times of suffering if you are not angry with God. But when you are angry with God, you didn't want to pray. Yeah. I was like, yeah, I mean, like, I avoided praying. Yeah, but after that, I prayed. But, you know, after praying, actually, you feel relief. And, you know, this is the easiest way to do, because we can just talk to our Father, cry. Yeah, so you will be, like, the burden's gone. Yeah, sometimes many people ignore it. As Christian, we need to pray for our brethren and those who are suffering. Remember that God listens to the righteous person's prayer. That's our privilege, that God listens to our prayer. And when you say that you will pray for them, please pray for them. I will never, when I say that I will pray for you, I will pray for that person. I will mention his or her name. But some people say, I will pray for you. But okay, just like to make that person feel okay. Yeah. Pray for them. And let them know that they will be in your prayer, and be sure to carry through with that commitment. If it is possible, it will be nicer if you can make time to pray with them. Yeah. Although it's this difficult to know for sure when it is appropriate to ask a suffering person if he or she would like to pray together, it is often very helpful to do so. That way they will see that we care and think about them. And do not forget about them. I like to write them because usually show them that they are all in our thoughts, not only maybe because it's family. Please also take care, I mean, help the children, maybe the mother too. You can do call or text them to ask about their day, send Bible scriptures, send some joke to brighten their days, not only scripture over the times. And then you can offer help in practical way. Little things count and help. Invite them for lunch or coffee, help them with groceries and errands, and then cook for them, maybe. Help with the household chores and pick up the kids or from school or babysit. Yeah, there are many things like nowadays everything is easy in Indonesia. I like to send them, I ordered from the restaurant and then I send them the food, they like. Like that happened, like one of our sisters just died, Lena Tamale. They struggled, the husband and the two children. Yeah. So, in conclusion, none of us goes through this life without wounds, but God will always help with His way. Sometimes God sent us to reach people who are suffering to help and comfort them. We can help those who are suffering by being there to show them that they're not alone in this difficult time. Be all ears. Give them some time to mourn and give advice only when asked. Be careful with your words. Be sure not to judge or impose our advice to them. Keep them in your prayers. Remember them and encourage them continuously, not only once. Over helps, little things count. You can do this with some ladies. So take time. Today I will do this, and then next day, other ladies will help. It is very important to have good attitudes and stay faithful when we are facing setbacks in life. As Jesus has suffered and died for us, we must live for Him and follow His perfect example. Stay faithful, serving our Lord Jesus Christ. Terima kasih. That's thank you in Bahasa Indonesia. Thank you very much.